But the patterns that seem to typify a majority of women and men in the American culture, where I've done most of my research, does help us understand the kinds of frustrations that plague us in our everyday lives. If we approach these conversational frustrations as style differences that women and men have learned over time, we can take away some of the blame and the accusation that is the most hurtful. We look to the people that we're closest to for support, you might say haven in a hostile world. You will understand me if nobody else does. For that reason, it's especially hurtful when the people that we're closest to, either our family members or people that we're in a romantic relationship with, take something that we thought was well-intentioned and interpret it as if we had ill intentions. If we say something that we think will make them feel better and it seems to make them feel worse, when something that we think hurt our feelings, we expect them to apologize, they say, no, no, I didn't mean that. All these frustrations are especially hurtful in the relationships among people we're closest to. And that's what I'm going to be focusing on in the next two lectures. The next lecture is going to focus in particular on the role of opposition in men's relationships. The example that I just gave of a man thinking that disagreeing with what a woman said is just going to liven up the conversation would be one small example of that. And we'll see in the next lecture both the sources of that, the logic of that, and many more examples of the role of opposition in men's relationships.
After listening to Lecture 3, a student posed this question to Professor Tannen. Are these patterns you described common across cultures? Let's listen to the professor's response.
Of the patterns that I described in this lecture, some of them seem to be quite common in many cultures of the world, whereas others seem to be quite different. For example, the frustration of women who want to talk about their day, where the men don't want to, does seem to vary by culture. So I have had couples call into TV shows I've been on and say, well, it's completely different in our family. My wife is the one who says, don't talk about it unless you want to do something about it. My husband is the one who comes home and wants to talk, and I would just as soon not talk. And I usually say to them, well, maybe there's a cultural pattern going on here. Is the husband who really wants to talk by any chance of Mediterranean background, perhaps Italian-American, perhaps Eastern European Jewish, perhaps Israeli? Is the woman who doesn't want to talk about it perhaps Irish-American or German-American, cultures in which you're kind of taught don't bellyache unless you want to do anything, something about it, have a stiff upper lip? So far, all of those who have called in with that frustration do tell me that they fit those cultural patterns, although they didn't fit the gender patterns. We know that there are cultures in which women as well as men will engage in lively opposition as a way of adding oomph, you might say, to a conversation. And this would be true for French, German, Israeli, as well as maybe more generally the culture of Eastern Europeans, Russian, Polish, regional differences, New York City, Los Angeles might be examples. And there are cultures in which women as well as men would feel that it's quite inappropriate to disagree publicly, to have, for example, an argument about politics or religion or anything, any kind of open expression of disagreement. And that might be true for many cultures such as Japan, Thailand. In some situations in China, I actually had a grad student examine this phenomenon in China, and she found that, at least in Taiwan, people who knew each other very well engaged in a lot of open opposition, but with people they did not know well, they avoided open opposition. So all of these things can have both cultural as well as gender patterns of difference.
This ends Lecture 3.